Here are the highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. Visit freetalklive.com for the full episode.
Michigan State University student
did a little hunt.
Some kind of investigative reporting of sorts?
You could call it that, I guess. This comes to us from Michigan State University's MSU Today. The headline is this: MSU scholars find $21 trillion in unauthorized government spending, Defense Department to conduct first ever audit.
Now, this to people that have, you know, kind of been paying attention to various news reports isn't too terribly surprising, because there was the study from Reuters from about 2.5 years ago where they found some like $6 or $10 trillion of unreported spending or something.
Right. Is that what they call the black budget? Is that what it's been like dubbed over the years?
You know, we'll get into the story. I don't think they talk about that, but black budgets, nobody's ever going to find.
Right. No, this is stuff to where it's kind of in the books, but it's not necessarily reported all the proper kinds of ways. There are some things that you've probably heard of, earmarks. Mm-hmm. And some people think, earmarks? That's a dirty word. No, earmark just says you're going to spend this amount of money on this. If you give Chris money and say, Chris, go buy groceries, he can buy whatever he wants. But if you say, Chris, here's money, go buy groceries and make sure you pick up 2 loaves of bread and a bag of chips. The 2 loaves of bread and a bag of chips is an earmark.
Right.
So Congress sometimes just gives money to various government entities and says, spend it on whatever.
Do what you like.
And then other times they say, but make sure you pick up those 2 loaves of bread and a bag of chips.
Right. Except instead of 2 loaves and a bag of chips, it might be make sure you build that new
highway
office
through my congressional district.
Right.
Yeah, but do they all have to like submit budget proposals and it all has to get voted on and stuff like that, right?
Yeah. So typically how
the Department of Defense would get voted a specific amount, right?
Typically how it works is, different cabinet positions put together their own budgets for the next fiscal year.
They send to the president. Right. The president sends a budget to Congress.
Mr. Skidmore is the Morris Chair in State and Local Government Finance and Policy at MSU. And he also heard a quote from Catherine Austin Fitz, who is a former Assistant Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, referring to a report that indicated the Army had $6.5 trillion in unspent unsupported adjustments just in 1 year in 2015. And the story continues, Skidmore thought Fitz had made a mistake. Maybe she meant $6.5 billion and not $6.5 trillion, he said.
Yeah, I could see somebody, you know, accidentally putting a decimal in the wrong spot, writing a T instead of a B accidentally.
Or misspeaking, because, you know, frequently in federal level, they're talking billions and trillions. They're not talking millions.
You know,
so he thought maybe she misspoke.
Few billion here, few billion there. Pretty soon we're talking some real money.
Yep. He continues, so I found the report myself, and sure enough, it was $6.5 trillion. Skidmore and Fitz agreed to work together and investigate the issue further. Over the summer, two MSU graduate students searched government websites, especially the website of the Office of the Inspector General, looking for similar documents dating to 1998. They found documents indicating a total of $21 trillion in undocumented adjustments over the 1998 to 2015 period.
Subsequent to the publication of Dr. Skidmore's report, the Office of the Inspector General at the Department of Defense and the Department of Housing and Urban Development took reports offline. Consequently, our primary links in the table below are the same documents posted on our website. We have preserved the DOD and HUD links in the footnotes. If they result in a 404 error or not found message, this indicates that they were taken down or moved subsequent to publication. On December 11th, we learned that the key documents had been reposted on the OIG website, but with different URLs. Documents now appear to be reposted with new URLs. As we find them, we will add them to the footnotes entitled New Link. So let me sort of rephrase this ever so slightly. they bookmarked all of the supporting documentation that they had from Department of Defense and HUD.
Right.
And then once they posted those links, the Department of Defense and HUD then decided to change the URLs so that all of the supporting documentation no longer goes to where it's supposed to go. I remember, and I'm showing my age here, I remember when the federal debt hit $4 trillion.
Oh, yeah, it was.
And I thought, wow, this is a massive number. We're never going to pay that back.
Now it's unable to be calculated because we have so many, entitlements and things like that that are unfunded.
Well, the unfunded future liabilities right. is different from the current debt.
Well, yeah, whatever you want to call it. I understand the difference between debt and liabilities.
Right.
But when we look at the whole nut, the whole amount that we have to pay out, it's staggering. It's not staggering. It's just impossible. You can't raise taxes enough to ever pay for it. You can't borrow enough to ever pay for it. You can't print money enough and fast enough to ever pay for it.
Well, luckily, Chris, they don't have to actually print the money. They can just go into their supercomputer and hit some numbers and bada boom, bada bing. Now there's extra money. Because it's all like debit cards and checkbooks.
Right. And then we'll be figuring out how to teach our kids about hyperinflation.
The budget is infinity dollars.
Yeah.
And when you go to the grocery store to buy that two loaves of bread and what was the other thing that I had mentioned?
A bag of chips.
Yeah. It's infinity dollars minus one. Continuing on here with the Department of Defense, the comptroller says, quote, "With consistent feedback from auditors, we can focus on improving the processes of our day-to-day work. Annual audits also ensure visibility over the quantity and quality of the equipment and supplies our troops use."
Gotcha.
The DOD's Office of Inspector General hired independent public accounting firms to conduct audits of individual components, the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, agencies, activities, and more, as well as a department-wide consolidated audit to summarize all results and conclusions. And they say beginning in 2018, our audits will occur annually with reports issued November 15th. Well, what are you going to be doing on November 15th? You're going to be holding your breath waiting on this report? Because I'm not. Chris, you made a good point off the air, though, about the fact that in a lot of cases, there are requirements that government contractors must use union rates.
Yeah.
Is this fact? I mean,
yeah.
Yes.
I'm trying to pull up some.
Not every state.
Not every state.
You know, these are things that vary state to state. On state issue, you know, if somebody's bidding on a job for, say, the Massachusetts Department of Transportation, they've got different rules than if they're bidding on something in New Hampshire or New York or California or Alabama. Then there are federal regulations for anybody doing, you know, federal contracting work.
Right.
Well, would those regulations be set by unions themselves or politicians?
Politicians, I imagine, are lobbying from the unions.
Yeah, but I feel like politicians would want to pay less because they'd want more money to spend on more stuff.
They would, but they also really like the fact that they get tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars sometimes from labor unions.
The Trump administration has called for government IT to adopt cloud services. The White House said Wednesday the U.S. government needs a major overhaul of information technology systems and should take steps to better protect data and accelerate efforts to use cloud-based technology.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, before I get too far into this, Chris, what are your original thoughts on federal government using the cloud?
Insecure. That's the first thing I think of.
Why is that?
Because you're trusting your data to someone else, and it's the same reason that I hold my own private Bitcoin keys. I don't trust anyone else with them, and for all the security that certainly surrounds the Department of Defense and other departments that You know, you don't want North Korea to have the launch codes or something like that. You would think it would be very high.
Oh, they're all zeros.
So that would be, except 1, 2, 3, 4. That would
no,
be very...
No, for like 25 years.
They were all zeros. I remember
that
story.
They were all zeros.
So
they probably still are.
That's the first thing. The second thing is, my second thought was, you know, compared to when I was in. So I was in the U.S. Army in we'll say the early 80s. And I was in communications, and a lot of the equipment that I worked on was Vietnam era or pre-Vietnam era. This is kind of an interesting aside, but I was at a Christmas party a week or two ago.
Okay.
Just that time of year.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And a lady I was talking to turns out to be, I'm not going to give a specific position, but let's say she's in the top three at Department of Transportation.
All right.
And... what she said the message in the federal government is figure out how to decentralize this stuff we're doing. We have to figure out ways to get away from the way it's always been done. And what she said to expect, and this was one example, expect us to be doing much less at Department of Transportation and see a lot more money in block grants going back to the states so that it's managed, that money's managed at the state level, which begged the question from me, well, why don't you just quit taking it from us in the first place and leave it at the state level?
See, we can't do that.
I remember my ex specifically saying that he actually preferred the guys that he would work with that weren't legal because that they came here.
Right.
He's like, they worked so much harder. Like if my boss were to hire some, like, you know, the average American, you know, 20-year-old, whatever, would just stand around smoking cigarettes, not really work, and would drag his feet, you know, doing stuff. But these immigrants would come over here and they'd just be like busting out the roofs and stuff like that for like a fraction of the price.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that. But I'm sure if he would have got caught doing that, he might have lost the contract.
I think they all do it, though. I think it's just a way of life. It's just,
right.
I mean, that's just a trade.
Right. And that's different than, you know, highly secure Homeland Security contract where they want a security, complete background check on something like that. So
you need to be able to pass an FBI background check and get this clearance and that one.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
DOD contract,
huh?
It actually is, you know, a lot of times if it's like they have to go onto a base or somewhere or certain areas, then they actually have to pass a certain type of background check to be able to work.
Bases are different.
Legally, they're not going to pass the background check. Also, on certain jobs, like you have people there who are waiting to do their part of the job. And I'm telling you, people who are like project managers will tell you this, like you have people who have to do like say laying the concrete, you know, this part three. Well, the people who have to do the next part after laying the concrete, they have to wait till the concrete gets done. They have to make sure that the concrete's right, it's where it needs to be, you know. And then once that's done and it's dry, you know, it's dried enough, it's hardened enough, then they can start doing their part of the work. And some of those people standing around could be waiting for them to get done so they can do their section of the work.
Right, and then some of the concrete stuff, I know at least with the masonry, you might have one guy whose job that it is to just like mix the batch so that it's ready, but he can't start mixing the batch until somebody tells him, hey, go ahead and start mixing the batch because we know it takes you this long to mix the batch.
So we'll just pay 8 hours at like $54 an hour to mix a bag.
The report from the White House, again, outlining a timeline over the next year for IT reforms and a detailed implementation plan. The report said one unnamed cloud-based email provider has agreed to assist in keeping track of government spending on cloud-based email migration. President Trump in April signed an executive order creating a new technology council to overhaul the government's IT systems. The article here continues by saying that federal government agencies, and actually government agencies at every level, often paid dramatically different prices for the same IT item. The White House report says sometimes it's 3 or 4 times as much. The article from Reuters continues by pointing out that Amazon, Microsoft, Alphabet's Google and Intel Corp are making big investments in the cloud computing business. A 2016 report from the Government Accountability Office estimated the U.S. government spends more than $80 billion every year on IT, but said spending had fallen by $7.3 billion.
Hey, Daily Digest listeners, this is Riley Blake. I enjoy Free Talk Live, and I know you do too, but finding time to listen to an entire episode isn't always easy, so I produce the Daily Digest. I appreciate those of you who have supported me on Patreon and sent Bitcoin to me to thank me for producing these digests. For those who wish to support me on Patreon, visit patreon.com/crblake86. If you wish to send Bitcoin, visit patreon.com/crblake86 for those details. That's patreon.com/crblake86. Thank you.
I'm always curious as to what's being used now after, you know, seeing what I saw when I was in there. What are they doing now? I don't know.
There's probably somebody that found a way to hack a Pong machine to, like, mine Bitcoin or something.
Right.
Agencies, the article continues, agencies typically buy their own IT systems independently. The White House report says a lack of common standards and lack of coordination drives costly redundancies and inefficiencies. And that's something that, you know, yeah, they could definitely wind up coordinating a little bit more. But that doesn't mean that you need to put everything on the Google Doc system or the AWS or something like that. And I'm wondering if the reason they're wanting to wind up putting some of this stuff on the cloud is to get around some of the spying and whatnot rules that apply to the federal government, where Google can collect any kind of data they want to against you. And if Google's collecting the data and it just so happens to somehow wind up on the NSA's portion of the cloud-based thing, does that violate the wiretapping rules that apply to the NSA? Yeah. Does that apply, you know, does that circumvent the FISA warrant requirement if Google happens to collect it and then just slide it over? Ricky is enjoying some pizza. Got feta cheese on one, like we were all half pepperoni.
I think we all approved of his pizza choices. Was yeah, that universal? There was no, got my vote.
Well, except for the black olives.
I like black olives. Yeah, I'm good with that.
I'm not a huge fan. I'm with Daryl on that one.
Really? Yeah, no worries. Yeah, you got.
We'll put them on Chris's piece.
Exactly. That's fine.
Pile them all up.
Oh, Daryl, I'm sure you would approve. Right, Brother Daryl?
I'm not a fan of the olives, but otherwise, good choice. Go ahead with your thoughts.
All right. Now, here we go. Now, before I talk to Sister Heather, and I'm glad that this come up because I've been thinking about Ricky from the Commonwealth history, actually. Now, a quick little point for you, Brother Chris. I don't talk much about my achievements fighting the good fight, but I had one recently, if I may.
Sure.
Well, it seems now that everybody in Monroe County, Pennsylvania now, if they ride the transit buses, can now carry a firearm regardless of their policy because their policy has been blown away.
Why is it that the federal government spends $80 billion per year on IT? That figure not including Defense Department classified IT systems or those from 58 independent executive branch agencies, including the CIA. So don't really know how much is being spent on IT. And maybe there's more than 6,100 data centers because there might be some classified ones somewhere. But the claim is that all of those can be consolidated and moved to a cloud-based storage system. No mention here of saving on human labor by not having to employ IT professionals to upkeep any of this stuff.
Right. And that was the big push behind cloud services was, look, you know, you'll be able to downsize your in-house IT staff, which is expensive, which is why cloud services really are expensive. Right. They really don't need to be that expensive.
Now, you're not going to be a full-time 40-hour-per-week employee. You'll be on call, and we'll just pay you $10,000 a month to be on call when we need you. So here's a pager. Just make sure you answer it whenever we use it. Who was it?
So I just found out I was hacked, apparently.
Experian? Was it Experian or the other one?
Oh, God. Why am I drawing a blank on it? It's a huge hack.
The big credit agency wound up getting hacked with like $135 million.
Your brain fog.
Yeah. Oh my, we've been talking about this.
Yeah, I think it was Experian. It wasn't TransUnion.
It was Equifax.
Equifax.
Oh, I got ding, it before ding, you said it.
Ding, ding, ding.
It
Heather
came
wins.
Back to me.
Heather for the win.
My brain wins. Yay.
Yeah, the Equifax hack. We don't know because they're
Experian. That was
they
close.
Have not released exactly what the extent of it is, but the closest they said was up to 143 million Americans. And if you go with
Some Canadians and some Brits.
Right. And if you go by the number of adults in America, yeah, that's kind of like everybody.
The actual moon, that thing in the sky.
I've heard of it.
That some people say doesn't exist.
I remember seeing people walk around on that for the first time.
Yes, it was.
Allegedly.
Before somebody makes another age joke
The moon. You know, the thing that...
Oh, yeah, you saw somebody walk on the moon.
Up in the sky.
Yeah. See, Heather, when I was growing up, we saw things
they
for the first time. They did. On my black and white TV. Now, I think we had color then, but we did see a black and white vision of, what's his name?
John Glenn.
Not John Glenn.
Armstrong.
Neil Armstrong take the first step on the moon. And that was a pretty amazing thing to see.
Yeah, and there have not been humans on the moon since 1972.
Which would be before you were born?
Correct. I wasn't going to say that.
That's okay. I saw
however,
all of them.
The article here from Slate says on Monday, which, by the way, was the 45th anniversary of the last human stepping on the moon.
Why is it we've only been... Wait, how many people have stepped on the moon? What, just one?
So there was...
About a dozen.
Apollo 11 through 18, and on each...
17.
Through 17, I'm sorry.
And what year
minus
did we land?
Minus 13. There were two people on each crew that
right.
made it
so
down.
So from 69 to 72, but some of the people flew multiple missions, correct? I think.
Wait, maybe. How long ago was the first one?
69.
1969. So
that was how many years ago?
Almost 50.
Almost 50.
40. So if you look at how much everything else has advanced in 50 years, how come we're not like... beelining it to the moon and back.
Because the U.S. government would rather kill people overseas and spend money on that instead of spending money on going to space. Trump and Vice President Mike Pence have been obsessing over the goal of sending Americans back to the moon for months. In a recent interview with Scientific American, Scott Pace, the executive secretary for the White House's newly resurrected National Space Council, gave a short defense of exactly why Trump was so interested in the moon, arguing that while President Obama's previous push for Mars and asteroid-oriented missions had some merits, they were so ambitious that they really didn't provide opportunities for international or commercial partnership. These partnerships, Pace noted, are the real reason to engage with space exploration. As he put it, quote, "The reason we do space is not simply to do it, but to advance U.S. national interest." The White House thinks it can use crewed lunar missions to bolster its relationships with the commercial space industry. The only problem with this reasoning is that the commercial space industry isn't really that interested in the moon. They have their sights set on loftier goals, and there isn't really any great evidence that a pit stop to the moon will help them achieve those aims.
The age-old theory has been that it's much easier to launch from places that have lower gravity. You don't have to overcome as much. So the cost of a launch from Earth is very expensive. The cost of launch from the moon would be lower, but the cost of launch from like a space station with pretty much zero gravity would be even less. So I think that's probably why the idea of like lunar being a base there.
Let me ask some questions. What's the cost of getting the fuel from Earth to the moon to make that easier launch?
Right. That's the whole thing. The idea was, I mean, back in the day, and I'm sure they still kick this stuff around, is there are probably the raw materials on the moon that you could launch directly from there without having to do the transport.
And I've heard of helium-3. I don't know if there's actually any of that on the moon.
Right.
Theories are that there is some helium-3. I don't know if that could be used as rocket fuel.
I'm going to turn into like a super science nerd over the next year. I hope you guys know that.
I'm cool.
Like I've actually been doing like MIT's open courseware in a lot of the science and stuff.
Right.
Their courses, they have like free online lectures and course materials.
So are you going to build a rocket ship? The real thing that would make redirecting to the moon worthwhile for private companies is if there's money to be made there.
Hear, hear.
It's true that companies like SpaceX and Blue Origin are making fast strides in cutting costs through reusable architectures, but each launch is still far from profitable. And even though the space industry has always been understood as a long-term play, eventually ventures like asteroid mining, space tourism, space deep space travel, and others will put their books in the black. In the meantime, they have to be cautious and discerning. Scott Hubbard, a Stanford professor and 40-year veteran in space-related research, says, these folks aren't running charities. Hubbard also recently authored a piece in The New Space, arguing that a shift to the moon could derail plans to get to Mars. He says, this is for-profit business, whether it's Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, or Lockheed Martin, or even Boeing.
Right. They're all in it for the profit. Unfortunately, it's unprofitable. So for them to do these things, who helps them out?
FedGov.
Federal government with your taxpayer dollars. So
right. And that's what Trump wants. He wants to wind up working with these private companies to help NASA get to the moon. Helium-3 has been touted as one resource, but there's no certainty it's available in large enough quantities on the moon, nor is there a financially sustainable method of extracting it and transporting it back to Earth yet.
Yeah, so the question I have is, why is this article talking about sending people? Can we not send probes? We've sent probes to frickin' Mars. Those things are crawling around still.
Mars is the only planet in the universe that we're aware of that is inhabited solely by robots.
That's a good point. But again, this is the kind of thing that if it makes financial sense for somebody to launch a probe, a roamer, what do they call them?
Rover.
A rover, thank you. To go up there and take samples and find out how much there is, then these things will happen. But the thought that, FedGov's going to jump in with, billions of dollars to make this happen, hoping that it works out for somebody, I'm not feeling it.
And, it's almost like you read the article because that's the point that Slate winds up making.
I'm agreeing with Slate. You heard it here first.
They mentioned that there could be huge reserves of water or ice on the moon, which could give rise to a water-based lunar economy.
You just heard highlights from the latest episode of Free Talk Live. You can download full episodes, subscribe to our podcast, listen live, and more, all for free at freetalklive.com.